B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony, as you just heard. I don't know why. I love it. So we've been doing, we have the new legal IDs where you hear the voices of the hosts in. And I don't know why I love it. But every time I hear Anthony go,
and you too.
I love it. I don't know why. It just puts a smile on my face and I can't help but laugh.
I need to know what the context of that, clip was.
Because somebody obviously made it a drop, and Coach Camille, who's been, I think, is the one that's making these
images.
Yeah, he is.
Does a great job with this.
Every time I hear that, it just makes me laugh. I crack up. I love it. All right, a couple of things that I missed. I apologize. The 11 o'clock hour was brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We didn't do the playback yesterday. We didn't do the playback today. It'll be back on Monday when Anthony returns.
You could say we did the playback of Jimmy Rollins' career just now.
Yes, we did. Yeah. Pat Egan's weird Jimmy Rollins numbers that he keeps in his wallet, I guess we'll call the playback, which, of course, is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. But what I want to do right now, and we have a couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Just going to sort of reset everything that we've talked about today. It's the final hour of the show. Jason Martinez will be on from 2 to 6. He's filling in for Mike. Tyler Zulli, who's doing the updates right now, he'll be producing that show. So make sure you check them out. They'll be on TV as well on ABC Sports Philadelphia. But here's everything that we have on the table that I want to talk about the rest of the way, final hour of the show, the number 610-632-0975. There are waivers out there, or will be out there, for players in Major League Baseball, NFL. I'm sure they're going to come up with something in the NBA, NHL last minute. I'm sure all leagues are going to have these. Like, I'm not surprised. There are a lot of people that were shocked by this. And I guess it's the dark nature of it. Like, I remember I was doing the show with Mike yesterday, and he was actually kind of shocked. I'm not. Because that's what big businesses do, especially big businesses like football and baseball. All the money that they have tied up, they came up with waivers that, hey, if you, God forbid, are to contract COVID-19 and you pass away, there is nobody in your family. And they had everything listed. Mike read off everything. Family member, next of kin, friend, the guy you met at the hoagie shop down the street, your pet, you know, your dog. Nobody can sue Major League Baseball. I'm sure they're going to have the same thing for football. You can't sue. If you were to pass away, nobody that is related to you can sue. Same thing for the fans. Now, we've talked about this. It looks like they're going to try to find a way, if they can, to allow fans into football games. Now, there's no way they're going to allow all 60-plus thousand fans at Lincoln Financial Field. But what they might do is allow a percentage, half, a quarter, whatever. They may allow a percentage of fans in the building. So I want to hear from the diehard Eagles season ticket holders whether or not you would sign the waiver and go. And again, unfortunately, if you were to contract the virus, even if you didn't pass away, I'm sure it's going to be different for fans. Even if you are just to get sick, you can't sue. You can't sue. I wonder how many people are willing to sign a waiver like that to go see your beloved Philadelphia Eagles. I love watching the Eagles on TV. I don't really go to the games. I make a point to try to go to one a year. But the last 2 years I've been working. I did a post-game show last year. The year before that, I did a watch party every single week. So I couldn't go. So I wonder how many people would sign that and go. But based off of the waivers, I came up with the Philadelphia 4-for-4 waivers. And I want to see if people would sign these. And it's kind of like the typical things that we grouse about, or the typical things that we're concerned about, and the things that I believe are rightfully things to be concerned about. Like, it's okay. But I want to see if people would sign these kinds of waivers. So I'll start with the ones that I started with this morning way back at 10 o'clock. And it was the Sixers waivers. Brett Brown, number one. If the Sixers were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose to the Milwaukee Bucks, no other team, we're not saying Raptors, we're not saying Celtics, we're not saying Pacers, Heat, somehow the Magic make a run. No, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. The team that all analysts, sports books, you name it, have the team that will win the Eastern Conference and get to the NBA Finals. That's the Milwaukee Bucks. So, what happens if the Sixers get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they lose. But that means they played all the way deep into September. Deep into September. October 12th, remember, is that final date that Game 7 of the NBA Finals must take place on. So I would say, let's say September 20th is the day they lose. So September 20th comes around. Now all you have is all of October, all of November. And remember, there are some reports that the NBA may start December 1st. Not Christmas Day, because the NFL is actually playing on Christmas Day. So December 1st would be when the NBA starts. The regular season, not preseason, the regular season. That means in November, you'll have the preseason if there is any. That means in early parts of November, or maybe even in October, you'll have some sort of, maybe not a summer league, but you need to have something for the younger players. So that means you're gonna have a new head coach for that short period of time. So I have to ask you, and I am one of the people that is ready to move on from Brett Brown. I know Pat Egan is ready to move on from Brett Brown. And I know that Pat Egan, because he said it early in the show, would not sign this waiver. But I have to ask you, if the Sixers were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, would you sign the waiver that Brett Brown is back for an entire season and you have to let the entire season pan out? Hey, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's great. That's something we should be happy about. We're excited. Yay. They lost to the Bucks. That sucks, but the Bucks are a great team. Wow, there's only 2 months till the start of the next season. We can't move on from the head coach. Would people buy into that? I'm sure a lot of people would not. But hey, you have to think about it. It's only 2 months. You going to bring in an interim head coach for 1 year? Is 2 months enough for you to do the coaching search? What if other coaches don't get fired for the same reason because of the lack of time between now and the next season? So would you sign that waiver? That was number one for the Sixers. Number two for the Sixers, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was the best player for the Sixers this season. And a caller said that to Anthony earlier in the week. And when he said it, it opened my eyes. And I said, you know what? That's actually correct. That's actually correct. Ben Simmons was the best player for the Sixers this season. But hey, you know what's so easy to do? It's so easy to bitch about Ben Simmons. It's so easy to say that Ben Simmons is a terrible player or that Ben Simmons is regressing. How many times? Pat, you've heard it. But I think Ben Simmons has regressed so far. Like, you've heard that.
You know, I think he falls into the trap. I talked earlier about Bobby Abreu.
Yep.
Of... he makes it look effortless, so people think he's lazy. But yes. It also combine that with the fact that he is the golden boy. He was the guy that was, you know, touched by the gods at an early age, and everybody knew he was destined for greatness.
There's a documentary on him coming out of LSU.
It's very good. I don't know if you ever saw it.
No, it was. I saw that one.
But because of that, it's, he doesn't have to work hard because he's been, he knew he was going number one. He knew this, he knew that. That's ridiculous. I mean, last year we were having legitimate conversations about how he needs to be in a gym and hang out less with one of the most gorgeous women on the planet as if he wasn't working out. We knew.
Right.
Like, people with common sense knew. Okay, yeah, he's not spending 24 hours in a gym, but he's not taking 3 weeks off here. You can do both, but he was getting ripped for it because people look at him as, well, you were supposed to be the transcendent player, and I haven't seen it yet.
And it's been 2 years already, damn it. As if 2 years is like seven.
Yeah, now Brett Brown gets 7 years. But Ben Simmons only gets two.
You hate Brett Brown, the coach.
The coach.
I'm making that clear. Because we are all in love with Brett Brown, the person. So, if Ben Simmons, like he was in the regular season, plays and is the best player for the Sixers during the playoffs, would you sign the waiver that for one whole year... Simmons haters, would you sign the waiver for one whole year? You're not allowed to go after that low-hanging fruit. Oh, Ben can't shoot. Okay, yeah, we already know that. I said it earlier. I am a Ben Simmons defender at this point. I will get a tattoo on my forehead that says Ben Simmons can't shoot, so that when you and I are arguing at a bar talking about Ben Simmons, you know that I already know, because it's right there on my forehead. You know that I already know that I know that Ben Simmons can't shoot. But you can't go after the low-hanging fruit in an argument. Ben Simmons haters, would you sign that waiver? The last one regarding the Sixers. If Simmons and Embiid play well, they find a way to play well in the playoffs. Brett Brown found a good way for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to play well. You know, they lost in round three. Maybe they lose in round two. But Simmons and Embiid, it looked like they can clearly play together on the court. Would you sign the waiver that for a full year, you can't make the case that one of those two should be traded? Because we hear it all the time. We hear, well, I don't want them to be traded, but I had this thought. I don't want them to be traded, but hey, Devin Booker. Right, like how many times have you heard that? You've heard it 1,000 times. So if they played well together in the playoffs, would you sign the waiver that you cannot for a full year talk about trading one of the two players? Those are the three Sixers waivers I have out there. 610-632-0975. Eagles related. Carson Wentz played fantastic football the last 4 weeks of the season last year. I have a belief that Carson Wentz plays the way he did the last 4 weeks, like he does all 16 games this year. I think he would do that all 16 games. Now, it wasn't like 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions every single game, but he played well, obviously well enough with the, you know, the receivers he had around him to win 4 games, to carry the Eagles into the playoffs, and if it wasn't for a cheap shot by Jadeveon Clowney, maybe win a first-round playoff game. If Carson Wentz plays that way all season long, will you sign the waiver that you can no longer hesitate for 2 full seasons? 2 seasons. That means he played all 16 games this year, and he played well all 16 games this year, or he missed 1 or 2, but it wasn't any freak injury. Would you sign the waiver that for 2 seasons you cannot hesitate to say he is the franchise quarterback? And you must respect him and support him the way you did in 2017 before he got hurt. Because before he got hurt, before Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, nobody disliked Carson Wentz. Not one person disliked Carson Wentz in this city during 2017 before he gets hurt. Would you sign that waiver? I think a lot of people will not. But I hope that you do. Finally, for baseball. And Rick is talking Phillies. I'll get to him in a second. 610-632-0975 to talk about all these waivers. There was a group of people that were so anti-baseball during the labor negotiations to the point where they said, I don't even want them to come back, or I don't care if they don't come back. For you, that group of people, would you sign a waiver saying that I will not watch a single pitch in the shortened 60-game season? Now, I know a lot of you will say, well, yeah, because it's a bogus season. What do I care about a 60-game season? But I know for a fact that whether it's the Phillies or some, or another division, because it's only 60 games and that every game will be heightened and that every game's going to matter, right? There's not that 3-game series against the Marlins in May that you lost and you go, well, that's not going to make or break the season. No, a 3-game series against the Marlins, if you lose a series against the Marlins, it may make or break the season. Right, you're in the AL Central, you lose to the Tigers a 3-game series. That may make or break your season. If you were one of those people that were so anti-baseball coming back, would you sign a waiver that you're not allowed to watch a pitch this season? Even if people are so excited, even if the Phillies are in the race to make it to the playoffs. It's easy to say when the Phillies haven't made it in the playoffs in a long time. But if the Phillies are in the hunt, right, they're in first place after 50 games like they were last year, would you sign a waiver where you can't watch? And on the other side of things, people like me who were begging for baseball to come back, would you sign a waiver that you have to watch all 60 Phillies games this season? So those are your waivers. 610-632-0975. Those are all the topics that have been on the table today, sports-wise. And of course, that show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson. If you want the absolute best Real Philly hoagie, you got to visit a Real Philly deli. Find one near you at realphillydeli.com. All those topics on the table. We're going until 2 o'clock. I want you to answer them. Would you sign those waivers? 610-632-0975. and I'm going to update you on the violation polls in a second. But first, let's go to Rick on the cell. Rick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on? Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Rick?
Good. I'm in Montgomeryville. I'll go over your waivers in order.
Okay.
The Sixers. Brett Brown, if he doesn't make the EFC, has to go. I've been saying that since the year started.
Okay, let's say they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they lose.
Make it. And even I would, you're saying 1 year with Brett Brown, right? No questions asked.
Yeah, you would have to do it because it's a shortened off season, right? There's only like 2 months.
Okay. I keep him.
Okay.
If he makes the EFC, I'm not saying win it. My goal for the Sixers was to make the EFC. Second, Simmons and Embiid. First of all, I believe Simmons is a superstar. And I think this kid, without injury, that goes with any athlete, will be a very top-flight basketball player. He's just phenomenal. His defense is better than he started. He's improving everywhere. The shot doesn't bother me.
Nobody wants to admit the defense, Rick. That's not the low-hanging fruit.
Right. It's the jump shot. But we can win with him without a jump shot. If Embiid is in shape, that team can win, can get to the EFC. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they can get there.
Right.
Let's move on to, what was next? Wentz. I believe he is a franchise quarterback. I'm behind Wentz all the way. Foles only seems to play well with the Eagles. I don't know why that is. It must be their system. That he plays well in, because anywhere else he looks like a very mediocre quarterback. But Wentz is a charm. This kid stays healthy and plays 16 games, I'll sign that waiver. That kid is a franchise player, and he's going to win a Super Bowl.
Awesome. I like the sound of that, Rick. I agree with you there.
Okay, baseball. Would I sign a waiver not to watch? No, I can't wait for baseball.
All right, so well, you were on the side where you wanted it back, correct?
Would I want what?
Were you on the – because it was the two-sided argument. Were you on the side where you were dying for baseball to come back? All right.
Yes.
So will you sign the waiver where you would watch all 60 Phillies games?
I don't know if I can – I have two grandchildren, and they're both within – under 2 years old. One's only a month or so old.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I can't commit to 60 games, but I'll watch probably 45 of them.
Okay. Fine, I'll go 45 because you're the second person that has given the number 45. So you would sign a waiver that you would have to watch all 45?
I would.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Now, let me put this all in one bowl. That is if sports even makes a season in any of them. Because I believe this virus is going to hit. And it's going to stop.
It's already hitting, Rick. And I appreciate the call. I mean, that. I feel like, Pat, let me ask you, have we gotten past the point where, you know how whenever we talk about Brett Brown, and if you have the stance that you want him gone, you know how we always have to, for some reason, say, he's a great guy, but, you know how we always, it feels like we have to say it.
Well, I felt like with Chip Kelly, it was personal. We wanted him gone.
Yes.
But a lot of it was the fact that he was a D-bag.
Yes.
Brett Brown, he's the antithesis of that, opposite. He's a great guy, and you want him to succeed. But there's nothing wrong with saying he's the guy that gets you to the guy.
So are we now at the point, and you live this life daily with me. I mean, you're working. You're probably here, 7 days a week?
About that.
If not seven, you're here six like me.
Yeah.
Are we at the point now where we don't have to couch the conversation by saying if sports comes back? Or will we always have to start the conversation with that?
I think we're going to have to start it until it comes back. And
Rick,
even then,
Rick, the caller, just said, this is all if sports comes back. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I feel like it's at the point where we know that. Like, I have said multiple times, I think sports are coming back. Like, I have no hesitation in saying that. But I can't say that they're not going to stop. Like, I don't, you know, baseball could play 20 games and the season could stop. Especially if a full team catches the virus, you know, you can't have a full 25-man roster of minor league players go up against the Yankees. You can't do that. So how am I supposed to know if it's going to stop or not? I think they're going to start regardless. But I guess we're at that point we're not at that point yet where we still have to say if they come back and play. And I guess that's never going to go away. All right, let me update you on the two Twitter polls because these are the most important parts of the conversation. One is about Twitter and using other people's Twitter. The other is whether or not you should finish a beer. So we'll start with the Twitter one. And this is on my account, at asalchunas975. All week long, and Pat Egan's been doing the morning show the last 2 weeks, and you've been doing a great job when you were doing updates and social media. The social media account, by the way, Pat, I'm honest. You're doing a fantastic job with social media. So people should follow the Twitter account, Instagram account, everything.
Yeah, shout out to someone who commented on the video I made for you on Instagram. You can follow it at 975thefanatic. Devin.Duffy.9 had some kind words for you.
I like Devin Duffy. I don't know who Devin Duffy is, but I like him. I like James Duffy. James Duffy. I like Jason Duffy. I like the whole Duffy family. I miss Stasek.
That's a joke for about four people.
I haven't seen Joe Stasek in a while.
But
Pat Egan's been not logging in. But Jamie Lynch, who, of course, is producer of the morning show, has been leaving his Twitter account open. And for some reason, Pat Egan really enjoys using other people's Twitter account and putting out weird
Actually,
tweets.
No. I really just like using Jamie's account.
Okay.
Like, well, if you left yours open, I don't know if I'd do it.
You used mine.
When?
When you said all my success in my career I owe to you.
No, that was just a nice comment you made about me. And I really appreciate that. I didn't know I had that much of an impact on you.
Yeah, that was me who tweeted that out. But Pat's been tweeting weird stuff from Jamie's account. Not like weird, but like weird as in like I blend my boneless wings and ranch dressing and drink it. Like that was the latest one he tweeted out this morning. It's been 10 days since Pat's been working with the morning show. And I think there's been like 8 tweets from Jamie's account. So is it now where you just got to say, yo, Pat, can you stop? Like not Jamie, the audience. Or is it at this point, is it just Jamie's fault for leaving it open? So is Pat to blame and your team Jamie, or is Jamie to blame and your team Pat? I say at this point, it's all Jamie's fault for still leaving it open. He has to know. He has to have the wherewithal to know that if he leaves his Twitter account and his laptop unattended, that Pat Egan's going to put out a tweet and he's going to sniff it out and figure out when Jamie leaves. Whether he goes to the bathroom, gets a drink of water, whatever. 75% are still blaming Jamie and are on Team Pat.
Well, I want to point out, too, a couple things for people that might think I'm being a jerk here. I don't open up his laptop. If he closes it, it's off limits. I don't open up Twitter. It's always up. He leaves every single day. And there have been days where I go, you know what? I'm going to give him a break.
But
I'm not going to do it.
It's enticing when it's just right there.
It's just there.
Yep.
I thought today's was pretty strong.
Yes, it was. So that's one Twitter poll. The other one, this one's on at 975 middays. I want to know, is it a violation to leave half a beer that you ordered at the dinner table if you're full?
So I threw this up on Instagram, too, on the poll and the story.
Uh-huh.
Man, we are getting some responses on that one that I'm not going to read, but people don't realize that you actually did finish the beer.
Well, can you please do me a favor and put out a second post? See, I don't have an Instagram, right? There's no Chunas Instagram. I can't go on there and defend myself.
All right, Boomer.
And you know, in the world of Twitter and Instagrams and Face Spaces or whatever these things are called, you see somebody say, this person asks this question, you automatically assume that's their opinion.
Yeah, so let me go update our away message on AOL Instant Messenger.
Thank
and
you.
And I'll update it to you drank
right,
the
thank
beer.
Thank you. I drank the beer. But is it a violation for people to leave at least half or more of a beer at the dinner table at a restaurant because you're full? 70% say yes, total violation. 30% say no. Again, let me be clear. I finished the beer. I finished it. I felt awful afterward because I had a full sandwich in my stomach still. And multiple beers before that. I'm gonna throw that out there. But man, did I feel terrible. But I finished it. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez coming your way at 2 o'clock. Tasty Cake Dom, you hang tight. I'm going to roll through some calls again. 610-632-0975. If you want to answer those polls as well, feel free. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Just taking until 2 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony. Anthony will be back on Monday, 1 o'clock hours, brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 50 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com. A lot of good stuff going on today. A lot of waivers, a lot of polls going on. And it's been a good time. And I appreciate that Pat Egan has been working the double today. Now, Pat, I was tweeted a question by Vince on Twitter. Tweeted by Vince on Twitter, obviously. This is such a hard question to answer because we don't really know what's going to happen in baseball or any sport, really. He goes, who's your division winners for baseball this year?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, I can go, all right, this is what I would have thought in a 162-game season. But with everything that's going on with the 60-game season, with players that could get sick and they would miss like 3 weeks of the year, 3 weeks of the season, like you could still say, all right, NBA, that there's probably going to be some teams that benefit from it. But when it's all said and done, I'm sure it's going to be the Clippers or the Lakers coming out of the West and pretty good shot. It's just the Bucks coming out of the East, right? You could say that. Hockey, I think, is going to be difficult to judge because I think, and Pat, you can attest to this, usually the one seed going into the playoffs and the Stanley Cup is not the team that makes it to the Stanley Cup finals, not all the time.
Yeah, so a lot of times they struggle.
So with a layoff, maybe the best of the best in the NHL is the team that actually comes up out on top. Like maybe this is the time where the one seed does make the run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So for baseball, to answer Vincent's question, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know that the Orioles will not win the division, right? The Orioles are not going to win the AL East. The Tigers are not going to win the AL Central. I think we have a pretty good chance of being correct there. But I guess, I mean, if I were to pick, I still think the Yankees win the AL East. I think the Red Sox aren't going to be as good as people for some reason still think they will be. Blue Jays are going to be a decent team. Rays are going to be a decent team. But if I'm basing it off of what I would have expected in the 162-game season, I'll just stick with the Yankees as the team that wins the AL East. In the Central, I'm going to go Twins, but I'm really fascinated to see how the White Sox play this year. The White Sox were a team that I was really excited to watch. They made a lot of good moves during the offseason.
Yeah, they're poised to do big things.
Yeah, I think so. Not
the Reds are another team that they had some really good signings. They also have some really good young players.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, what happens in a 60-game season? Do the young players take off? Like, do they play? Like, you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, talk about young talent. They have a ton of young talent. Maybe 60 games, they go off, and there isn't that stretch run pressure of the last 60 games in a 162-game season. It's only 60 games. So you're just going to go out there and play. You're just happy to be out there at this point. But I don't know. I'll go Yankees in the East. Twins in the Central. White Sox would be the wild card team, I believe. And in the West, it's still the Astros. Whether you think they benefited from cheating, which they did, they are still a highly talented team. So I still think the Houston Astros win the division out in the AL West. In the National League, I think a lot of people are going to pick the Braves. I'm going to pick the Nationals, not because they won the World Series last year, and I know they lost Anthony Rendon, but in a 60-game season, to have the horses that they have in their rotation,
yeah.
Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin.
And you heard Bryce talk about that. He said when they signed Corbin, I think he turned to Gabe and said they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, wow. He said he did an interview saying that he knew that when they signed Corbin because they had the horses,
right.
But they lost Rendon. You talked about it. I'm high on their future third baseman, Carter Kieboom.
I love Kieboom. Kieboom, I think.
Is it Kieboom?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kieboom.
And he's the second of the Kieboom's. There's another Kieboom already in the league who was a catcher, I believe, or a reliever. I don't know if he's catcher or reliever.
Or there was a website we could go
to. What key boom did you say? Because there's a Carter key boom, and I forget the other one.
Carter, I believe, plays for the Nationals.
Yes, he's playing right now. So I still have the Nationals winning the NL East. I mean, the Braves are probably going to be the wild card team. Sorry, Phillies. In the Central, you're right about the Reds as a team that could be an up-and-coming team. The Central is going to be interesting because I'm not in love with the Cubs. I'm not in love with the Cardinals. I'm not in love with the Brewers, especially their rotation. I'm probably going to lean toward Cardinals just because they were there last year, and they too, like the Nationals, had this incredible run where they won a bunch of games, eventually winning the division. So I'll go Cardinals in the Central. And then in the West, it's the Dodgers. And I don't think you can make the big. I think the Padres are going to be a good team this year. Padres are going to be fun to watch, but I go.
I disagree.
You don't think the Padres are going
to
be good?
The Padres, to me, are a. Like, there's always those franchises in sports that. And honestly, the Reds have been one of those teams. So I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here. But the teams in sports that you just never, ever have to worry about. And every year, every couple of years, there's the report that, hey, they're going to be the team to watch.
Adrian Gonzalez, one of the best players.
You know, baseball has a lot of them. Like, a lot of franchises that have just been, for the last 10 to 20 years, irrelevant. Like, the Seattle Mariners. I mean, when they traded for Cliff Lee, all we heard about was, oh, Cliff Lee,
well, the Mariners,
Hernandez, and they had no lineup.
The Mariners are what the Phillies were the last 2 years. They get hot out of the gate. They're in first place. Oh, could this finally break the drought? Like the 20-year drought of missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
No. They end up falling. And they make no sense either. Right? Felix Hernandez, Cliff Lee. You say they don't have a lineup. They kind of did. They had Cano.
I don't think they did have Cano at that point. In 2009, they had Cano.
No, he was with the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
He was against the Phillies in the World Series.
Yeah, they didn't really have a good lineup. But my point is, like, them, the Reds, the Padres... There's those franchises in sports. Charlotte Hornets are one. Yeah. You're never worried. They're irrelevant. They're there. The Atlanta Hawks have been like that as well. They're there, but they never compete. Arizona Coyotes.
That's awesome. Arizona Coyotes. That's great. That's great. So yeah, there's my division winners in a league where I don't know if I'm going to be right, because I really don't know what the hell is going to happen in a 60 game season. No idea. 610-632-0975. Let's go to, hold on. Before I go to the phones, Bryce Harper spoke today, and he says he wants JT Realmuto back. Obviously, he's been wearing his jersey the last...
Oh, you don't say.
He said it's not a statement.
BS. Okay.
Come on, dude. You wore the same Realmuto jersey.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't a statement when he said that he was going to call Mike Trout and try to get him in Philly either.
He's worn the same Realmuto jersey the last 3 days. This is from Matt Gelb. Apparently, he wore that Realmuto shirt under his jersey all season long.
That's kind of weird. I mean, I get supporting your buddy, but it's a little weird.
Huh. Was it like Realmuto jersey day? They probably did that one point last year, and he got one and decided, I'm going to wear this. And maybe he had a really good, maybe that's when he had the good second half of the season. And you know baseball players and their superstitions. Maybe the Realmuto jersey was a superstition for him.
Did you ever have any superstition? Because I know you still play.
Yes. I was like the disgusting one where, you know, you don't wash the socks or the sliders. So, sorry about that. Other ones that I don't want to talk about involve the girl. Don't want to, a couple good games in a row. You got to keep going, Pat. You got to keep going.
It's baseball season, boy.
Listen, man, if you're on the hot streak, every once in a while, you got to call and say, what up?
Beautiful. You're padding your meat.
You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, there's that. You know, I have a couple wooden bats, right? If they break. You have to move on to the next one. I'll use the same bat, obviously, during a hot streak. I'm not going to switch up bats. So, you know, there's all kinds of stupid stuff. Yeah, I just spit a certain way before every at bat. I used to stretch before every single at-bat a specific way. All kinds of bogus stuff. That's why
it worked. You're in the majors.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about the majors. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Andrew. Hey, Pat.
How you doing, Dom?
I'm good.
Have your friends gotten laid off you yet?
No.
They're still calling you Larry Bird?
Bird. No, Birds. No Larry, just Bird.
Okay. I'm sorry for what I started.
That's okay, Andrew. What we all do... you guys, my business. You met my friends.
Yes, great people.
When it's your turn to get it, you have a little bit of tough skin, and you got to take it.
Exactly.
So I got to take it. Now, there ain't nothing else. Being called Bird is the worst. You know, there's F words that they could call me that I would, you know, Larry Bird. Wow. But I said what I said, and I'm Bird for a while.
That's awesome.
So, but I loved the show, and I love. Now you mentioned Larkin, right, Andrew? There was a guy named the two shortstops when I think of that had dynamite in their bat first were Alan Trammell and Cal Ripken.
Yes,
and Larkin was after them.
Well, was Ripken? He went shortstop to third base, right? Or was it shortstop?
Ripken was short,
and then he goes to third later on. Yeah, so, yeah, he was playing shortstop in the '83 World Series.
Trammell
was
a shortstop.
Yep,
for sure. And then Larkin and then A-Rod after that.
Of course.
I think that's chronologically how that went.
Sounds about right.
So, Pat, this morning, Keith, and Anthony says this all the time. When these folks say either built for 16 or made for the playoffs, what does that – that means very specific things to me. What does that mean to you?
It means that you believe, and I'm with you, and we'll see what happens, that their length and their defense, which when it comes to the playoffs, the game slows down, the game becomes more of a half-court game, the defense is a lot more important in a playoff game than a regular season 82-game season. You know, you go, all right, I look at this roster and how it's constructed. It works well with what the theory for playoff basketball is.
But because they should never be out-rebounded. When you have Al Horford, Joel and Ben, you're not going to get out.
Even Tobias, Tobias, there was games where he was getting double doubles, grabbing 10. I know he's not a rebound machine like the three that you just mentioned, but even Harris is a guy that grabs boards.
You should spend 16 minutes, at least 16 minutes a game in the penalty. I see, Andrew, I called you a bit. There's been games when the Sixers got teams in the penalty with 8 minutes to go in the quarter.
Yep. And then they don't to the line.
Because the main thing, writing it down, is the worst Sixers move in history, right, Pat, is Ben, especially when they're in a penalty, Ben penetrating, because he can get to the basket whenever he wants. Ben penetrating to the basket, he's 2 feet from the basket, and he kicks out for a three. That's the finish. You're going to get fouled, Ben. You're
well, yeah,
going
I mean,
to spend
the biggest one,
the foul line, go to the basket.
The biggest no one was out. the final seconds of the Miami Heat game where Kendrick Nunn, who was like 5'10", was guarding a 6'11 Ben Simmons, and Simmons kicked it out to Horford. Now, Horford had the open look, and if he makes the shot, we're not complaining. But because he missed the shot,
yeah,
we go, Ben.
Because that's still not the play, Andrew, because in the penalty, there's 18 benefits. We're going to the basket and getting fouled. You're putting the other team in foul trouble. You're getting points with no time getting off the clock. The play is still, because Ben is going to get fouled every time. Joel Embiid is going to get fouled every time. When you're in the penalty, I cringe when they shoot a three-pointer.
Yep.
It's not the play ever.
Yeah, you want
when
them to keep
the penalty,
attacking.
Everything to the basket. Always.
Yeah, and one of the big things, Dom, I appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Right,
enjoy
you,
your weekend. Love you too, Dom. Great man. So I'm in. Jared Allen, center for the Brooklyn Nets. He's the guy, he has the afro, if in case you don't know his name. Now, I know this goes back to last year in the playoffs, but this is like the main example that I always go back to. Because I can't remember other specific games. Jared Allen had two fouls on him within, I'm not kidding, 5 minutes of the game, 4 minutes of the game. They didn't pull Jared Allen. They kept him in the game because it was just so early. Usually you get into foul trouble that quick that you're pulled out of the game. They kept Jared Allen in. The next five possessions, they shot a three. Now, Jared Allen's not Kevin Durant, right? You're not trying to foul out Jared Allen. Jared Allen fouls out. You go, all right, we didn't win. You know, it's just, all right, they lost one of their starters. But if you get Jared Allen two fouls in the first 4 minutes of the game, why are you shooting the next five possessions threes? Why aren't you giving it back to Joel to go up against Jared Allen to get foul number three in the first 6 minutes of the game? Why isn't Ben Simmons driving and attacking at Jared Allen, who already has two fouls? And here's the other thing. Maybe Jared Allen refrains from going up strong on the defensive side. Maybe he goes, oh my God, I already have two fouls. I'm going to give him a little more leeway getting to the rim. And you know what? That's just an easy bucket. That's a win-win for the Sixers. You either force him to have his third foul, or you just got an easy 2 points. Whoa, whoop-de-doo, what do you know? That's great. But for some reason, the next five possessions were three-point shots. And to me, that comes back down to coaching. To me, Brett Brown's going to say, yo, dude, go after him. He's got two fouls already. We're 5 minutes in the first quarter. Let's go. For some reason, they didn't do that. Let's go to Nash on the cell. Nash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How are you? Great show today.
Thanks, Nash. I appreciate it. What's up, man?
So, first, I just want to touch base on the Eagles waiver. I personally am not going to an Eagles game. I don't care if it's 25%, 20%. Like, I'm not going to be around 10, 20,000 people.
Yep, I'm with you.
I've got two little kids. It is what it is. However, if I was going to go to the game, I'm absolutely signing the waiver because that's my decision to take on that responsibility.
But you would have to. It's not
Yeah, anyone that says that they're going to go to the game but they're not willing to sign a waiver, well, then that's just stupid. You're trying to put it on the team, and really it's not on them.
Nash, they will not allow you in the building unless you sign the waiver.
Well, I guess I mean even anybody that has a problem with it.
Right, okay.
I mean, if you want to go to the game, that should just be a given. You should have no issue.
Yep.
Moving on to the Phillies real quick. I personally, I was not one of the people that was, you know, clamoring for baseball to come back. I'm also not one of those people that was saying it shouldn't come back. So to me, you know, it's a bonus that we're having it and I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know how many games I'll watch, probably 20 to 30 would be my guess. And it's going to be highly dependent upon who's pitching. So that's just where I'm at.
All right. So you're not going to watch the full season. Okay.
I'm not. And I'm probably not watching the fourth and fifth rotation guys probably ever.
Ask you something, Nash. Like, if I love how all these people say, oh, baseball's dead. You know, I don't want to watch the Phillies anymore. If the Phillies were in a playoff hunt, I mean, you know how this city gets. Everybody's going to get behind their team, even if they're not a big baseball fan. And that's why we are great fans in Philadelphia. I may not be the biggest hockey fan, but I'm going to get behind my Flyers because I'm from Philadelphia. I'm rooting orange and black. Let's go Flyers. Let's try to get a Stanley Cup. So
I agree totally on that.
So if, let's say the Phillies, you say you're going to watch 30 games. Let's say that means you're going to watch the first 30 and then you're done. Like, theoretically, we'll just say that. If the Phillies are 20-10 and they're in first place in the NL East, you're not going to keep on watching?
Absolutely will. 2008 was one of the greatest years of my life, and I will jump back on that bandwagon so fast, and I'll take whatever crap comes with it. Absolutely.
No, I mean, there's no crap that comes with it. Like, I remember having conversations about the process, you know, people that stopped watching the Sixers during the process. I was one of the losers that still paid money to go to games. I was a loser. I gladly welcomed every single Sixers fan that wanted to come back.
Idiot.
I wanted everybody to come back.
What a loser.
But for some reason, there are people that are like, no, you stopped watching. You're done. No, come back.
I agree totally. We're all in this together, man. And especially with what we've got going on in this world today, if you know, whatever brings you enjoyment, I'm all for it, you know, to each their own. And
exactly.
Speaking of the Sixers, that kind of brings me to the next piece. So two really interesting waiver points you brought up. So I'll sign the Simmons and Bead waiver all day, and I'll sign it for the next 3 years.
Okay.
I'll take it for longer than a year. I think they can absolutely play together. But that directly leads me to the next waiver, which is the coach waiver, Brett Brown. I'm not on that at all. If he doesn't get to the NBA Finals, I'm out.
Okay. Knowing that you really only have 2 months, not only to the start of the season, but like 1 month until some sort of training camp. What if they don't have a camp, like a real camp? You're going to have a new head coach do everything via Zoom?
Yes. Yeah, so this is my thought. I think that the 76ers have, if not the most talented roster in the East, one of the top two. So the fact that they're a sixth seed, to me, only shows what a poor job Brett Brown has done. I think that the fact that there's only a handful of games before we get into the playoffs, in the playoffs, as we've been talking about, slow down. I think that's the style of basketball they need. I think they should do even better in the playoffs. And honestly, at this point, I expected before the season for them to be in the Eastern Conference Championship. And if they don't at least make it there, again, to me, that's a knock on Brett Brown. I truly, honestly believe that this team plays the wrong kind of basketball for the way that they're
playing. Nash, I don't disagree with a single...
That does not change unless Brett Brown's gone.
I don't disagree with a single thing you said, and I appreciate the call. I don't disagree with a single thing you said. My only point is, if the Sixers were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be mid to late September, right? They get bounced mid to late September. I'll keep on saying it. October 12th is the final day for the NBA, right? Game 7 must take place. NBA Finals October 12th. So let's say the Sixers get bounced on September 20th. The Milwaukee Bucks beat them, and the Bucks are ready to move on to the NBA Finals. Or let's say that series even goes to 7. So it's September 25th. I don't know. I don't know the exact dates, how many days off they'll get in between finals games. Let's say September 25th. It's already been determined, well, not determined, not officially, but December 1st is the date that they're looking at to start the next season in the NBA. December 1st. So that means you have 6 more days in September, and then you have all of October, all of November. So you have 2 months and 6 days until the start of the next season. That means in 1 month and 6 days, you're going to have training camp. So you're going to get a new head coach. You're going to fire Brett Brown. You're going to get a new head coach who has 1 month to see on paper what he has, to study tape, and then has 1 month to run practices before the start of the new league year. I don't disagree with a single thing that Nash said. Brett Brown is the reason why this team was such a disappointment this year. Obviously, things like Al Horford not playing well was a disappointment. Joel Embiid not carrying the first 20 games, right? That was a disappointment. But Brett Brown's a big part of the reason why it was such a disappointment in Philadelphia for the Sixers this year. Obviously, well, not in Philadelphia, on the road. But what I'm saying is, if the Sixers only have 2 months to start to get ready for the next season, I don't know if they bring in a new head coach. It's already been reported on. Keith Pompey has talked about it. Anthony has talked about it. They have talked about the fact that it's going to be a shortened offseason, and that may be a reason why Brett Brown's back next year. And I know people don't like to hear that.
Dude, I hate that.
It's already been talked about.
So just to clarify, we are going to once again go into a season knowing that this guy isn't the guy because we don't have long enough to implement literally anybody else's system, as if these guys aren't professional basketball players and they can't pick this up. I mean, how is this different when you sign with another team that runs a drastically different offense? I mean, at this point, we are continuing to create excuses for keeping Brett Brown on.
Yes, pretty
much.
It's
a joke.
Pretty much. I don't think you're wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not even making that excuse. But I'm just saying it's already being kind of floated out there.
Cool. Then we need to look at the GM.
The decision makers.
And if it's not the GM, then you need to look at the ownership. It's absurd. They're like, how long are we going to do this dance until you say he's not the guy?
If I said, Pat Egan, you can fire Brett Brown right now before the resumption of the
done. Done. Are there not assistant coaches that are sitting there going, what are we doing?
Probably. They're probably going, oh my God.
By the way, assistant coaches that are getting NBA looks.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I don't think it's Brett Brown necessarily, but every year, Brett Brown, one of his assistants, seems to get hired. So this idea that you can't move on from Brett Brown and put an interim tag on one guy, you do it in hockey, you do it in baseball, you do it in football, but NBA, all I've been told by people is, you don't do that.
Why?
So we're going to waste a year?
Why?
We're going to waste a year of my life? Is that what we're doing? We're going to waste another year? I mean, think about this. A once-in-a-lifetime pandemic is going to save a man's job? That's where we're at? Give me a friggin' break.
Pat Egan's on hour 8. He's about to finish hour 8 of radio today. And man,
the Mountain Dew just hit.
He is still going. Now, I didn't talk about the Bagelgate today. I'm back on tomorrow.
Thank you for that.
No, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. It will be discussed. Are you doing 12 to, are you with Jason?
No, tomorrow? I'm off.
You're off completely tomorrow?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary today, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So I'll tell the story tomorrow. Bagelgate with Pat Egan. I did my man a favor. And I'm not complaining. It's not even your fault.
You're a foxhole man.
It's not your fault. Ordering 6 breakfast sandwiches, not ahead of time, but at the counter, when there's a line of people behind you, total violation.
Whoever that person was, not a foxhole man.
Jason Martinez coming up next. Our 2 o'clock handoff is brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, visit handtoshouldercenter.com. Pat Egan, thanks again. Happy anniversary. Thank you for doing 8 hours of radio today. Jason Martinez, Mikey misses off to, today, so Jason Martinez coming your way next. He'll also be on NBC Sports Philadelphia with Tyler Zuli, who's going to be producing the show. Anthony will be back on Monday. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. to noon. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.